I don't remember if the killing of Martin Luther King was racially motivated or not. I just really can't remember that. But Sirhan, I believe, was the guy that did shoot him. I think he's still in prison at this time. But there were so many things going on during this time in the 60s. When I look back and try to think of all of those things that were going on, it just kind of blows my mind because of the hippies, the marijuana, the both of the Kennedys being assassinated, the assassination of Martin Luther King. And I think in that span in my lifetime of all of the changes that came about and all of the conflicts that were beginning to boil up, it really kind of blows my mind to think of how much really that I lived through. Certainly the assassination of John F. Kennedy was a major thing. I was in high school, and I think I can, like so many other people, remember exactly where I was when that happened. I was in a bookkeeping class, and it came over the loudspeaker that he had been shot, and then wasn't long after that it came over the speaker that the President of the United States was dead. And those things just did not happen because we lived in, like I say, a very calm time. But then as things began to fall apart, you heard more and more things like that happening. I remember watching the funeral on television, and of course you could not turn to any station that was not on. And back then there were not so many stations as there are nowadays, but it was on every station that you turned on. It was on as long as the television was on. There was on there about the president. I remember seeing little John when he saluted the president. And that was just really heartrending. I think he was only 2 or 3 at that time. And that was just something that you couldn't have planned, to have something like that happen that would have been more moving. That child just did that out of his own little heart when he saluted his father when his casket came by. And that was just really moving. I think I'll always remember that. I remember his body lying there in the rotunda. And the eternal flame, when they lit that eternal flame. And all of those things were just seem like ingrained in your mind, because it was a time that was a very shocking time, and a time that maybe some of the innocence of the United States began to be eroded away. A very sad time.
Do you think the political changes that you were talking about had anything to do with moral changes within people?
Probably so. You begin to see, like George Wallace, who is being very defiant and standing up in the door and standing up in a sense in the face of authority and saying, you know, it's always been this way, but now we're going to be doing it this way, or we won't do it this way. So you begin to see maybe some of your own leaders defying authority. You begin to see the murders of the president and his brother and Martin Luther King. These political things that were going on were actually there again, a breakdown of morality, because who would have ever shot the president? That was just a moral breakdown, that someone's morality had broken down at that point. So I think they did basically go hand in hand as far as the political and the moral changes. And unfortunately, they went down instead of up. I think that's the bad thing about it.
Okay, we've discussed the political and moral and social issues of the time in Anniston and other areas in the 60s. Discuss some of the religious activities back then, such as in where did you go to church, and were there any blacks in your church, etc., etc.
I went to church at a Church of Christ, a very small little Church of Christ, and we, in that religion, we went to church every time the doors opened, I guess you would say. So religion was a very strong part of my raising at that time, and also in the 60s, a part of most people's raising. Most people would go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It was just the thing to do, I guess you would say. It was something everyone did. As far as the services being integrated, our services were not integrated. Slowly as the integration began to take place, in different churches there were colored people that did come to church, and unfortunately somehow this did become an issue also, of that they should stay in their own place, they should go to their own churches, and there should not be mixing in the churches. And that was a very controversial thing, because there again, people such as myself who had been raised to keep everything separate, then it was so difficult to accept people even in a religious situation. And I think we would all have to say that the Lord is colorblind, and He accepts people for who they are, what they are, not what their color is. But even in religious situations where we were supposed to be very tolerant of one another and caring and loving, religion became a divisive thing even in those situations. And I think even in the 90s, that it's still a divisive issue in many churches, unfortunately so. But that also, when you look at the religious and moral, it's where some of the morals have broken down, some of the respect for authority, and that's even being carried over into the churches too, which is affecting the religious, the way that people are treated, black people are treated.
Within the racial issues, how did you yourself feel during that time? Like when George Wallace was doing this or that, or what were your opinions then?
I don't think I was a very opinionated person. I think I just sort of took one day at a time and never really was that politically involved in anything or really thought that much about it. I think the most politically involved we got was when we did feel that George Wallace would be a very good candidate for president, and we did go to the rallies, we did support him, we felt that he could make a change and do some things that would be very positive. When we were the first class to have a colored person graduate, I guess that gave us a little bit of notoriety, but I don't think any of us really thought that much about it. It was just sort of a progression, something that was happening. You didn't get up in arms about it, or you really weren't that opinionated about things back then. I think that the young people really began to get involved and become very opinionated when all the flower children started to come along and this type of thing happening. I guess when John Kennedy got killed, I thought more about the presidency and politics, and really sort of made an impact of what's happening to my world. What's going on? Are we not safe anywhere? Is the president not safe? And so I think you begin to, as you grow older and see things like that happening, maybe become a little more concerned about things that are going on. But I can't say that I was ever very much opinionated one way or the other, like especially some of the flower children and different ones like that got in the 60s, and they got up in arms about different issues and were just willing almost to be killed for this issue or that issue. I can't say that I ever felt that opinionated one way or the other in situations. I think I have felt more opinionated as far as the religious issue, in that that blacks should be allowed in the churches and that the Lord is colorblind there. I think that I felt more opinionated there probably than any other area. And certainly in the moral issue, that is something that is very disturbing, the way that the morals have declined since all of the uproar and the the racial tensions.
How do you feel that your opinion on certain on issues, racial issues, now? How do you feel it has changed?
I think that, unfortunately, I find myself feeling that there is becoming a tremendous gulf between black and white people. I began to feel a resentment within myself toward black people that I don't think I ever felt before. I think things such as the O.J. Simpson trial have made a difference. I think that had an impact and caused certainly there to be more tension, more racial tension, to be certainly a tremendous more amount of division between black and white people. The matters of welfare, and that seemed that the scales seemed to be tipped against the white people more in favor of the black people. Whether this is true or not, it appears to me that everything is more tipped in the favor of the black people. The affirmative action programs seem to be for the black people. And so, since I'm a person who works myself and pays taxes, I think it is causing me to feel more racially prejudiced myself, because I feel like almost I'm being discriminated against in many ways now. There again, whether that's right or wrong, that's I'm beginning to feel more opinionated. And I think that you're seeing this more and more between the white and the black, and I think you're beginning to see tremendous division now that there was not. A lot more hatred, a lot deeper, stronger hatred between the black and white. And it just seems to be getting worse and worse almost on a daily basis.
Do you think that now you might be experiencing some discrimination that the blacks may have felt in the 50s, 60s, and before that?
Yes. In some ways, I think that is true, because it seems that no matter what you do to try to get ahead in some areas, that you just cannot get ahead because of the taxes situation, and your taxes are going to feed people who are not working. And so in that way, it seems like that you yourself are caught in a system and you're not able to get out of that system regardless of what you do. And perhaps that is how the black people felt, like they couldn't even sit down on the front of the bus because the system said you have to sit on the back of the bus. And there was like nothing that they could do about that situation. If they moved up to the front of the bus, they may get firebombed or whatever, and most people are not willing to risk that. So in that sense, I suppose that is true, that you can kind of feel the same kind of discrimination that they felt, because you are trapped in a system that pretty much has you stranglehold and your hands tied, and there's nothing you can do to get out of that system, or so it seems. And, you know, like the black people begin to revolt against the white people, they begin to start moving up to the front of the bus to try to get in the schools and everything like that, that there again, the white people may have to start a revolt themselves, the type of revolution, to ever break the change that government has got pretty much the working person into, either black or white, but the working person who is supporting the people who are not who are on welfare and who really are not working. So in that sense, I can see a parallel there.